Good morning. We are on and we are live. This is Heart of the Valley Community Church on December 2nd. Everybody say hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Okay, so I was just giving outline direction. We're talking about the Lord's provision. You could, and let's be free with the word provision. We're talking about the resources, engaging things that go with your mandate, which their mandates are attached to your scroll. And the Lord is the one who oversees your scroll. So that's what we're connecting in here today. He's talking today. He's talking tomorrow. He's talking next year. He's talking 5 years from now. He is literally vision casting in you. And he's going to be bringing you some supplies. And all you have to do is make note of them. I see the supply. Just engage, interact with him. And if you want to highlight, if you have some current mandates, you could just make a little mental note. Well, I have this family mandate. I have this corporate mandate. I have a personal mandate. You could just make a little note. If you have mandates, they're already existing. So that when he drops a supply for a certain mandate, you can just kind of categorize it. Oh, it goes here, or it goes here. That is if you work from an administrative type of gifting, that will help you. Yay. And I'm going to try to relax.
Breathe.
I'm so excited. I'm very excited. And for those of you that are hearing this online, welcome. Just step on in. Heaven is alive and pregnant. Everything that we're talking about here is alive. Just step right in. Join us here right in our gathering here. You're more than welcome. And we just thank you that heaven is already here. We're seated. We're seated in heavenly places. Everybody is seated. So what I'm going to do is exactly what he told me to this morning. So I'm going to sit down. He asked me to sing, and it opened the Library of Ages. We've been there before. The Library of the Ages is the where he spoke to us about that this was a new era. And remember, the next year it was the container ship. For those of you online, you can look down in our podcast and listen to those two gatherings as well. But that is where we're going into. So he is taking the record and the memory of what we've already opened up, and our voice record literally opens up that Library of the Ages.
What was the first one you said?
New Era. Remember? Era. Okay. In the little cookie tin?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And then Container Ship.
For me.
So, housed in the Library of Ages, your name is written there. Every scroll that your name is written on is there. It is a today, it is a yesterday, it is the future. It's an eternal place. It's the Library of the Ages, and there are records everywhere. That's what we're going to step into. We're going to step there, let the Holy Spirit take you wherever he wants to take you. If you go somewhere else that I may be facilitating, you go with Holy Spirit. At the end of our time here together, we will actually step on the Sea of Glass today. We will encounter Melchizedek, and he also is going to bring forth resources and supplies to help seed our today and our future. Okay? I'd like to tell you a testimony. And then I'm going to sit down, I think. Oh, I'll tell the testimony. I was listening. Testimony, sit down, opening. So a testimony. Most recently, I was traveling to one of my favorite thrift stores here in town. And I stopped by a thrift store on the way that happened to be open. And I went into this little thrift store, and immediately here's a box full of my great-grandmother's china. This china is over 75 years old. It's Havland china from France. There were seven place settings, 10 dessert trays, and 5 cups and saucers. This is the second time this has happened to me, that I walked into a thrift store and paid less than $35 for antique china with 24 karat gold plating. That was my great-grandmother's. So what God told me, and that's the same thing we're doing today, is I asked him, I go, I said, God, this time of the year, you know, usually I don't spend $30 on myself in this time of the year because I'm looking for gifts and treats and treasures and stuff. And so I had, that was a little reasoning. I went, I'm kicking reasoning out. I knew he brought this to me, and I took it, paid for it, and went to the car. I was sitting in the car, and then I asked him about my reasoning. And I asked him, what does anybody need 13 place settings for in this day and age, right? And he showed me. He said, remember the house that I've given you the key? The place that we've had communion more again and again, and now he continues to show me the different rooms and everything. And he showed me the dining room. He showed me the table in the dining room, the chandelier fully set. He said, those are your grandmother's dishes on that table. Whatever's inside, he says, I'm filling the inside of the house so the outside of the house will be framed. So that's what he's doing today. He's filling what's on the inside of us in heaven, the kingdom of heaven in us, will frame up and the outside will manifest. Yippee! Okay. All right. So, I'm sitting over here. This is what I saw. Feel free to move around the cabin. And you can also join me. I'm just trying to rest a little bit here. I'm excited. Yay. Jesus. Jesus, there is music in your name. Let the man
and the sound of healing. Jesus, there's music in your name. Jesus, there's music in your name. You guys want to sing with me that part? Jesus.
So I'm also, I'm going to share with you Hebrews 11:1, just so that we can allow the substance of things hoped for. The assurance of things hoped for. Substance and assurance of those things that are hoped for. And we set our conviction, we set our evidence on those things that are hidden. Hidden for us. We open our eyes to see hidden things, to understand hidden things, to receive hidden things, to perceive hidden things, to feel hidden things. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. Father God, I just thank you that today things that are seen, things which are not visible, which your hands made, are going to write. Their melody is going to be released in us, released in our eyes, released in our understanding, released in our feeling. And Lord, we just thank you. I thank you, Lord, that the library room of the ages, that we're seated there. We engage freely by the blood. We sit here freely by the blood, by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, gives each one of us the opportunity and the privilege to sit here as sons because of the blood. We enter into that gift of grace and we apply that gift of grace and we sit here, royalty, crowned, robed, righteous. We sit here and we listen. We receive. Okay, so I'm going to read, it's just about a page and a half. I'm going to read the actual encounter that is originally framed in heaven with the unfinished book, because we're all written in the unfinished book. And so at any time, you can follow along with me. You can stay in this, in the place that Holy Spirit has you. But I'm going to read it. So everything we're doing here, see, there's a voice record. When I sat down and sang, there's a voice record, and that's why it opened, because it has a record that I was already there. So the reason why you're there, because there's a voice record saying that you've already been there too. We just engaged it today.
I saw it being recorded on an old device, not like a computer. I don't even have the language for it, but the old technology, the needle goes up, you know, back and forth. Uh-huh. I saw that being recorded.
I love it. Yay. That's wonderful. Thank you for sharing. So in the unfinished book at the bottom of page 8. Oh, can I tell you another heaven story? Pretty much off topic. From introduction to the indulgences. It's just that I'm reminded of it when I mention you as being part of my pen. During the New Year season, I set aside some quiet time to be with the Lord, hearing and procuring goals, promises, provisions for the upcoming year as our focus. I had never stepped in ahead of time to heaven for divine resources to fill the year ahead. So it's kind of a rookie journey, supply and demand for the vision at heart. Odd how you spend years praying for things that you desired yesterday. What a different concept to apprehend them according to his plans for you before the need occurred. Yippee! Often inside of me, when engaging new heavenly territory of heart, old framework or mindsets, oh, they kind of arise, and it feels like somebody's going to catch me and say, "What are you doing here?" Like the proverbial, I'm eating the cookie in the cookie jar. Well, to transform, I apply myself and I do the work to change how I am responding. Protective habits of feelings of hiding spiritual experiences, those have to change. Time well spent in his presence has apprehended faith in my experiences in heaven, and their fruit was gaining significant ground. For the upcoming year and a project in writing, I met with Jesus on the Sea of Glass. You know, he has that look with a shy smile on his face of knowing your intent. Hidden conversations in my heart are saying, "Yes, sirree, I'm not doing this year without asking, seeking, knocking, and walking through the door." So, off to the treasury room. We walk to meet up with Melchizedek, chancellor of God's treasury room. A chancellor, a priest in charge of public or heavenly records.
If you read in Genesis and meditate on the offering given to him from Abraham, you will begin to see his original origin. No teaching here. Back to my encounter. I'll share an anchor from my perspective. That anchor is for you to just step into the anchor. The treasury room door is much like I would walk into a cave opening at the base of a majestic mountain. I have always met Melchizedek at the entrance. He's regal, unpretentious, humorous, purposeful, ready to teach, patient for you to learn, and inquiring about your story. In my different encounters with him, I've experienced both a human-looking man and also a bright, light-filled spirit. It's just a different lens that develops in your seeing. You'll get there. So, here I am at the door. We exchange our greetings, hugs and such, and my purposeful shining self, bright with intent, I have my marching orders from God and need supplies. The cave is lined with gold. I'm sure that it has many things to discover within it, but currently my experiences have been teaching me just to receive without overthinking it. Receive provision. Most items, scrolls, index cards, tools, resources have been within the cave-like room at hand. Getting to know Melchizedek in his foyer, so to speak. The relationship has been a focused key. There are manners and etiquettes. The relationship to heaven, being invited into more of someone's abode, is offered through relationship. I have eternity to venture into discoveries. I pass a large index file cabinet on the left of the entry. They what look like apple boxes sitting on the floor, filled with treasured linings, on the side of the rooms. Immediately, I am given a treasure chest full of gold coins. My spirit poised the coins out on a portable table, as we have for my church. Said tables have folding chairs around it. Heaven is a fascinating place, a place of generous permission. That is what my spirit perceives, permissions far beyond the imagination. My spirit eyes seem to home in on what I was meant to seek. I see a sword hanging on the wall. Heaven is alive. So your perceptions or feels and communicates emotions via your spirit, bubbling over with real touch impressions to your body. Secretly fixated on the sword, I can feel might and value and its extraordinary history. Oh, I'd love to hear from its former handlers. It's an awe moment for sure. Easy to be overwhelmed in a good sense from this glorious place. My knees are wobbly, so I ask Melchizedek for his wisdom and help to guide me for what I'm going to need. Changing your DNA from lack to abundance requires lots of capable tutors. Amen? He smiled at me, and both our eyes were drawn back like a magnet to the sword on the wall. Well, it's well-forged steel. It's a simple design, balanced handle with turned grips and a single narrow leather strip tied around its neck. Heaven is listening. Conversations. My conversation is heard and spoken from the heart, through lips never moving as my spirit is moving toward the sword with a closer look. With my questions spoken and thought, what's the significance of that leather strap? I asked Melchizedek. My answer arrived in no time. The strap is a portion of David's leather slingshot. Well, that takes your breath away now, doesn't it? My question of its ownership arose with a surprising audaciousness. Not that I needed the sword, but may I have it? Melchizedek's response was humbling. Nobody else has come to get it. Salal. My journal notes say, what an odd statement, Sir King of Salem. When I said this to him, he held out his left hand to me, and in it was a small, round, ancient, pure gold snuff box or pill box, the size of a 50-cent piece, fitting petit lay in the palm of his hand. My first impressions feel like this gold dust inside. He smiled at me as we exchanged gifts. I gestured forward and covered both our hands with my left hand to hug, handshake the exchange. Thank you. I put the mighty sword on my back and thanked him for the golden box. It feels like a personal gift. I must have been 20 inches taller than when I came in. A remnant of greatness, the sword, it hung on my back. My clothes mysteriously transformed, and I exchanged as I walked out with a new suit of armor and a personal treasure in my hand. As I was going from there to here, or back to my humble prayer pillow in the spirit, I examined this gift, a little gold snuffbox. Pondering if it could hear my thoughts, what do you do? What do you hold, and for what purpose will I learn to unleash your beauty? Questions opened the answers as my eyes accessed it like a key. Unlocked my sight to view, laying in hand a lens. I saw a realm of rooms having tiled floors of mathematical patterns. While drowning in the glories laying in my hand, I heard laughing and conversations around me. She got it! She got it! From heavenly witnesses. I saw circles of seals of authority stacked one on top of the other like a tunnel of DNA. A tunnel, no, a spiral staircase of transformation. Our activation. Today I've journaled the unexplainable and received my provision for heaven. All the mandates and scrolls and assignments I've received needed recording, so I step into the record room to see Edward, the scribe. And then I release what I experience to my angels, receive, agree, record, release, write the declarations. In moments not governed by time, I'm back sitting on my prayer pillow. Even rewriting the encounter rekindles the fantastic of spirit. Heaven is still alive, and today I can step back into that life I lived when I was in the dimension of wonder. I'm basking in its surprises and mysteries with a few tears, bowing down to the greatness, the personalized details, and the pleasure I feel. Father to daughter, God maturing his child, I am so glad I asked. So I'm going to continue and read the little rabbit trail that's at the end of this. It says, so why did I take this fantastic rabbit trail with you? Rabbit trails just lead to another opening in the family burrow. The little gold, which I call snuffbox, I highly doubt they need snuff in heaven. Giggle, giggle. Since that day, I've activated it by my spiritually setting the paper cutout snuffbox on my table or desk with me. Surrounded and encouraged by my menagerie of heart window box of motivational promises, I've changed and found boldness from what I said before the adventure. 21,655 words since I confessed the problems I felt with my pen with you. And if I think about it, it's pretty mind-boggling that you are sharing this journey with me. Thank you. Thus far, it's been focused on me, myself, and I's. Would I suggest many parts could be your story? Well, I've read the end of the book. And together, we are in for a life-changing treat. Are you ready? Okay. From the introduction to indulgences, the window box, I included you being part of my pen. A little over a week ago, I was writing and struggling to write, and I saw God's hand reach over my shoulder from behind. He opened that small gold snuff box, grabbed my pen in the spirit with my hand on it, and with both our hands holding the pen, dipped into it like an inkwell. Writers together to write. Pen filled with heavenly ink. You are now part of my pen. You are part of his pen. Yay!
enjoyed doing that. I gotta stand up again. I enjoyed doing that. So I encourage you. And I'm gonna lead you just to those similar places. If Jesus already has you in somewhere else, you just stay there with him. But I'm going to lead you to the Sea of Glass to meet Melchizedek. If you've already met him, as I read, great. Just keep on going. So we step on the Sea of Glass. And for our group and our gathering, I've made a kind of a really cool little video that will help us grasp the Sea of Glass. But I encourage you, by faith, to take a step forward. If you need to get up and move around the room to engage Jesus, you just have the freedom to do that. So we take a step, much like we would step on the first stair of the ladder of our DNA, which opens and takes us, which we go back and angels ascend and descend upon us. Much like we take that first step on that first stair, we take that step today onto the Sea of Glass. Take a moment to feel your feet. Feel any changes or shifts that would be that you would be perceiving within your senses. Take a deep breath and smell the air of heaven. If you have not already been introduced to Melchizedek, I introduce you. Melchizedek, these are my friends. These are sons and daughters of the Most High God. These are Jesus's kids. This is Jesus's bride. This is father's sons and daughters. These are also kings and priests. These are Abraham's descendants. And Sarah's children.
We carry the promise.
Yes. Would you say that a little bit louder, Susan?
We carry the promise.
Yes. I can't look it up. I was going to do that. So just a little bit of note, if you have, do you have your mirror Bible here, Susan? Oh, you're probably faster getting through it than me. Because I'm using my other devices for the recording. Oh, how does this work here? Where are you?
There
we go. Hebrews, oh, that's Hebrews introduction. Susan's loaned me her mirror Bible. I am going to Hebrews 11. I'm going to 11:11, which I bet everybody in this room, everybody hearing, has run into 11:11. 1-1-1-1-1. Here, there, everywhere. Okay. So, Sarah's testimony of faith is just as amazing. She conceived and bore a child when it was humanly impossible. I encourage you to hear that. Humanly impossible. So, when we say humanly impossible, I want you to take those things that are human and impossible and just put them on the table for God to see, for you guys to just have that exchange. This feels humanly impossible, God. It's just as amazing. She conceived and bore a child when it was humanly impossible. She believed that God would be faithful to his promise and gave that belief authority over her life. So what God is showing you, has shown you, is speaking into your life. Give it authority. You take those promises, you take those prophetic words, you take those encounters, and you allow them to have authority to steward your decisions, steward your actions, your emotions, how you go forward, where you step, what type of choices that we make. We allow, just like Sarah, just like Abraham, to give it governance and authority in our life. And as Susan said, we carry the promise, and heaven recognizes those who carry the promise.
Thank you for sharing.
Yay.
Woo-hoo-hoo.
So I just honor Melchizedek and Jesus. I honor all the sons and daughters that are here with us today. And we walk and we go into the entrance. For me, it looks like I'm going into a large mountain and into a cave. At that time, it looked like it was a gold-covered cave. Not cold or anything. It was just very bright, very homey, but just a gold-covered cave. It can look like a room to you. That's perfectly okay.
The library?
Mm-hmm. I actually stepped out of the library. You can stay in the library if you'd like to stay in the library. Wherever you are seated, there's always a place for us to spread out scrolls. Wherever you are. If you're laying on the beach with Jesus, he can spread out the scroll right there on the beach while you're laying there. So there's always a platform for him to unlock and unroll your scroll. So I just ask you for a minute to engage with Melchizedek, look around the room, the cave. You could be in an open field with a forest surrounding. You just look around. Look at what Jesus is pointing your perceptions towards, what Melchizedek may be handing you, what you see on the wall. Be as audacious as I was to go grab David's sword. Be that audacious. You might see a crown. You might see the alabaster box. You might engage Patrick Shield. Jesus and Melchizedek, we just thank you for your supply. We thank you for these resources. I encourage you to take a mental note. If Jesus gave you something versus Melchizedek, there's just a little bit of a note. I'll give you a little bit of just a little thing that I've learned with Jesus. I've noticed that when Jesus gives me gifts in heaven, most of the time, on an average, I trade those to, and when I trade them, I ask Jesus where to trade them. When I trade them, then they turn into more of an earthly type resource. So it's just a little bit of clue. That's just a guidance. That's not a law.
And that's from Jesus.
Yeah, I've noticed with Jesus, I do, let's give you a for instance, it's like I was getting pearls, and I've gotten a lot of pearls from him, and I, you know, it's kind of like, how many pearl necklaces does a girl need, right? And I just hang on to them, and I go, well, how do you get the pearl necklaces to heaven, right? Well, it took me a while to realize that it was a heavenly resource. A gift from him, because he's king, he's in heaven. So I had to trade the heavenly resource, and then I was given something that would manifest on earth. So it would look like, you know, whether, like when I went to England last year, when I traded, I'm just going to stick with the pearl necklace. I traded the pearl necklace that he gave me, and then he gave me a little brown bag. So the brown bag, I could say, oh, it's a brown bag, like a little purse. Well, that purse actually manifested in everything else that was given at the same time as that little brown purse manifested, which I carried to England in the natural. So that's just something that I learned. There's things that I trade in heaven so that it becomes a resource I can release. Because, I mean, like a firing chariot, that would be kind of hard to release on the earth. People might say you look a little funny if you're driving a fiery chariot around on the earth, right? So,
what do you do with the things Melchizedek gives you?
Well, you're going to have to ask him. Everything is relational. Everything is, what do I do with this? Just like the little gold snuff box?
But for, it's not the same pattern as Jesus, what Jesus gives you in regard to trading.
I just shared a pattern that I've noticed through relationship, a consistency. It's a guideline, and through relationship, it opened up the question, do you want me to trade this? That's what the relationship, I learned how to walk with him, like with those pearl necklaces, I learned how to walk it out. And so that was just a little guidance, so that through that learning that I know how to ask the questions of, oh, well, what happens if I get dominoes or red dice or something like that? Well, then I have to ask, how do these work? What do you want me to do with them? Where do they go? Do I trade them? Just like your orb or your scepter, we have to learn how they work and how they operate on behalf of what it is that God's called us to do or outwork. It's like getting new software. You have to push a whole bunch of buttons to figure out what the software is going to do. And that causes you to ask a lot of questions or research a lot of YouTube videos. But to learn the software, you have to be resourceful, or else you have to go take a class and be trained. It's the same thing in heaven. We have to learn how to utilize a gift. Just like when God came and gave Moses the staff. Well, he took him on a little journey and said, this is how it works and this is what it does. He went, oh. And then after he showed all the different manifestations of the staff, then Moses knew how to carry it. Same difference. Everything.
Well, do I understand right? You haven't traded your sword. That's something that you haven't traded.
You mean the David sword?
Yes.
Actually, yes. David's sword is outworked at the chapter 12. No, it's chapter 15 in the book. Okay. But I received David's sword to actually outwork an encounter for all the readers to engage at the end of the book. So. It's ownership. I mean, the sword of the Lord, I don't own it. I was facilitating its use. So it's for everybody, and it's written in the end of the book. Okay. But yes, good question. Yay! Okay, so my encouragement to you is write down what you feel, what you sense. If there's a question, you write down that question, because it just says, Jesus, I have this question. I have this question. Or I have this question. Yay! And we're going to thank him for that. If you need to take any of those resources and put them in certain places, like I began, does this feel personal? Does this feel corporate? Does this go along with a mandate that he has you working on? I think what I'll do is I'm just going to hold this here. I'm going to, because I can't stop and start the video, the taping. And so we're going to keep going, but this is not going to be part of my little video. It's not going to be part of this. So I'm just going to conclude it here, but don't conclude. So my encouragement to you is that you lay the things that Jesus and Melchizedek have shared with you. My encouragement to you is ask lots of questions. Go into it. Go into it. Like what I do, if you read the book, a lot of times I will try to find something in my home that represents it. And that's how I keep it before my eyes. It's the same way as like Sarah. I gave it authority over me. So when I received that little gold snuff box, I found a paper cutout and I printed a picture and cut it out and taped it next to my desk. And it just continued to manifest. And the interesting thing about it is that later on, an actual little gold box like that did manifest, and I have one for real. That's another story. But yeah, just take those things and allow them to be a prophetic marker. I mean, yeah, just a prophetic marker. If Jesus gave you a strand of pearls and you have some sitting in your desk drawer, carry them around, feel the weight of them. Every time you do that, you're just engaging the promise and just learn, what does this do? What do you want me to do with this? What is my engagement with it? What, when I wear it, how does that change me? How does it help me? Just ask lots of questions to find out what the resource that he gave you is to empower you to fulfill your destiny. Your destiny today, your destiny tomorrow. And it's this, every time we take a footstep forward, a destiny, we want our destiny to be completed. So when I look at today, A, I'm going to use the whole alphabet, A to Z, but I can see myself, oh, I might be an L and P and M, but I could probably tell you the story of F, G, H, I, K. And so it's important that we create a communion with Jesus, with the things that he has entrusted to us. If you got a key, find out what it unlocks, and then go through it. So I'm going to say amen, and God bless you, and we're going to continue. So just keep encountering God. Yay!